Just over a week ago, the art world flocked to Asia for this year's Art Basel Hong Kong, and amongst them was head of content at the Listen Gallery, Ossian Ward, who took his notepad and pen and is back in London to report back on his highlights for us here on the Monocle Arts Review. Plus, later on today's show, we'll meet a curator in Berlin who's spreading the word of Persian artists around Europe. That's all ahead on the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bounds, here on Monocle 24. And Ossian Ward, welcome back, fresh off the boat from Hong Kong. Have you had a lovely time?
Yes, I did. The jet lag is marvellous, thank you.
It's all right, we're going to get more high energy as the show goes on. It's my job as a presenter to get the best out of my guests. Okay. So you'll have to bear with me.
I'm ready.
Should we play a little bit of a clip of something while we collect ourselves? We're going to begin with the winner, in fact, of this year's BMW Art Journey. That is Samson Young. He's a young sound artist. Well, maybe we'll have a clip. This is called For Whom the Bell Tolls, A Journey into the Sonic History of Conflict. Samson Young.
How do rapturous moments caress the skin? How do wars caress the skin?
Spooky stuff. And this is the work of Samson Young, whom listeners might or might not be familiar with. Talk us through this one, Ossian.
He's a very young artist. He was selected last year, so every year they select someone from the fair to get this great prize. He went on a trip recording all these different bell sounds, and he works with sound. So this is one iteration of this bell project, For Whom the Bell Tolls. And we were given, as part of this walk, an iPad, a radio, a book, a map, you know, a whole kit. And then we were set off through the fair. You kind of walk down the stairs. You watch a bit of a clip on an iPad, one of those spooky sounding backdrops. But you also follow the character of someone called Locke, who's actually played by Samson, walking through the same space you are at night. So you're following his footsteps. And throughout this thing, you're then asked to listen to the radio. So you tune in the radio and you hear these different bell sounds when you're walking. It was quite weird. We went through my hotel and sort of stopped in the lobby. And then I looked down as if to see what was going on. There was nothing there. But on my video screen, there was like this little German guy sort of beatboxing away and doing a performance. So it was all sort of, you know, this mirroring idea of you being in the same space. But then there were actual performers as well. So I walked around the corner and, you know, down the street and across through the park. And suddenly there was someone kind of blaring a trumpet in my ear. And it was, you know, it was quite full on.
And is Art Basel, in its Hong Kong form, kind of good at doing these things where it kind of breaks up the commercial element of the art fair and does these kind of more presentation, more kind of immersive installation pieces?
In the fair itself, there was a great section called Encounters, which are the large scale sculptures which do break up the fair. You know, all art fairs need a sort of project space or something to break off from the endless, you know, aisles and booths. So that works very well. I would say this was one of the more ambitious kind of commissions that I've seen. And indeed, it was only on for one day, but it's part of his wider practice. He's obviously getting good exposure from this Samson Young, and he's a local artist. He's based in Hong Kong, so a lot of the piece was about the history of where you were standing at that moment, or, you know, when you were, this was an actual port before, and then you walk into this pier where there are all these kind of American squaddies. It was really strange, and then you walk out again listening to the headphones.
Psychogeography at
play. Yeah, absolutely. That's what it was. But it was, it was really worthwhile. And I think the fair benefits from those kind of things, but I mean, maybe we'll go on to talk about it. What they're lacking is really good sort of public spaces or artist-run spaces. There are good commercial galleries in Hong Kong. You know, people are starting to look at that as a gateway to Asia, but, you know, it's not the same as mainland China. So it's still quite commercial. I think they haven't found the balance of not-for-profit spaces, and there just aren't that many museums.
So it's an interesting one. We're going to move on, but while we're talking about this specifically, let's finish that thought then. Is this something that comes from the top down or the bottom up? Is this something about actually cheap rents and a bit more of making it an affordable city for artists to actually live and do their work in?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that they chose Samson as a local artist, because I'm not sure how many local artists there are in Hong Kong. You know, really, it's a busy old city. Rents are high for that kind of thing. So even big galleries have small spaces, which is weird. You know, you walk around these kind of small Warren-like gallery spaces all in one building, in the Pedder building or in the entertainment building. And they're all clubbed together. And I understand that. But I think there are more interesting things, you know, a bit further afield. But it will really depend on, I think, the impact of this M+ museum. When that opens, that will really open the floodgates and maybe will make Hong Kong feel a bit more rounded in terms of culture.
Oh, it was interesting stuff. We kicked off there talking about Samson Young, winner of the BMW Art Journey at Art Basel Hong Kong. This next one is called The Everything Is and Isn't at the Same Time. Now, that sounds like I've read that out wrong, but I have actually read that out right. It's at Galerie Huit. Tell us, really, what's going on here. We've got some artists that I'm aware of, some artists that I haven't quite heard of in this collection of stuff. What are we talking about? Is this a group show?
It's an individual collective based in London called Troika, and they are all, well, I mean, two of them are from Germany, one's from France, but they live and work in London. And they are interesting for their melding of, let's say, scientific, philosophical, artistic, and kind of experimental ways of looking at art and making things. So there are drawings here that are made with high voltage electricity, which is attached to both sides of the paper until the paper sort of creates these incredible lightning patterns and meet in the middle, and there is formed the circuit. The electricity finds a way, forces its way through the paper, burning it. And so some of their works are kind of, you know, tinted with danger, but they're also all about chance. There's lots of work here made from smoke, so they'll build a maze and allow a smoke bomb to go off and find its way around the maze, and then that will sort of imprint itself on the paper, so you get to see, you know, the red smoke kind of went that way and the blue smoke went that way. So there is some magic to it, the smoke and the fire and the electricity and the burning. But there's also a sort of more philosophical underpinning about, you know, which way to go. How does an artist make their decision? Are they making any decisions? I mean, there's three of them, but arguably they're not doing the decision making. The works are almost like they're self-perpetuating systems.
So there's not that much of the personality of the artist. I mean, there obviously is by the way that they conduct their artistic experiments, but you don't see the sort of heavy hand of the artist as you might in maybe more traditional form.
Yeah, and in some ways they're sort of hiding themselves. I mean, some of their works are about things that are visible or invisible, or objects that when you look and turn around them, they turn from being square to circle to triangle. You know, these objects that are difficult to view. And perhaps that is, I haven't really thought about this in terms of other collectives and duos and trios of artists, but there is some sense in which they do subsume their personality into the whole. And maybe with these guys as well, with Troika, there is some sense that they are mysterious activators of their work rather than, you know, like the signed work. And so there's work involving dice here, you know, complicated systems and mathematics. But, you know, at the end of it, there does seem to be some sort of other force. Maybe it's nature or, you know, the world that's kind of forcing them to make the work the way it's being made.
Before we leave Troika alone, what does this work actually look like at Galerie Huit? What are we walking around?
So there are these works made of dice or die, you know, a sort of big panel of black and white dice. So, and there's a number pattern you can or can't follow, you know, mathematical thing. Then there's some more sort of monochrome work. There's a big sculpture that's made of this kind of marbled, beautiful resin, which as you walk around it sort of appears and disappears and changes from these between these different shapes. And then these very colourful mazes that I was talking about with the smoke bombs, which are printed on paper. But, you know, you get the sense of this kind of liquid watercolour sort of being formed naturally. So there's a mixture between, and, you know, these very spiky, very detailed little drawings made by electricity. They're kind of, they're beautiful. So there's a mixture between sort of nature and tech, if you like, or, you know, science fiction or something, you know.
I like it. Light-handed, but heavy on the meaning, possibly.
Yeah.
But you might have to invent your own. That is Everything Is and Isn't at the Same Time is on at Galerie Huit until the 6th of May. Let's next go. We were talking about the M+, weren't we, before? So let's talk about this. This is the SIG Collection exhibition. So this is a big sort of greatest hits thing, isn't it, of the collection. Tell us about this one, Ossian.
What we're all waiting for is this museum to arrive, basically. It's been long delayed and long in the making and fraught with controversy. So M+ will be part of this West Kowloon cultural district that they've been touting, and it's going to be built with big name architects and all the rest of it, and they've been buying work very heavily, so the collection is already being touted as something important. But Uli Sig, who's a really important collector of Chinese art, has been collecting Chinese art, you know, longer possibly than any other Westerner, certainly since the early 1990s, when Chinese art was in its nascent, kind of most controversial, performative, messy time. And he's donated, I don't know how many of his works, but 1,500, basically, Chinese contemporary artworks to M Plus Museum. Now, this is controversial in itself because, as we know, Hong Kong has been ceded to China, so it's no longer entirely an autonomous territory, or, you know, not British anymore, certainly. So the idea that somehow these works have gone to the Chinese state is controversial for some, but actually, I think Ulusig wanted a place, perhaps mainland China wasn't the best place for them, because there's some really controversial work by the Stars Group and early Chinese performance artists, you know, Zhang Huang and Ai Weiwei and other names that I may not be able to pronounce, frankly, but you know, artists who were really pushing the boundaries and who were being immediately shut down, who were being censored, and you know, their exhibitions would go up in a garage 1 minute and it'd be shut the next minute by the police. So they were doing extreme things, putting themselves into the river or covering themselves with honey and insects. And so, you know, he's got a lot of that work. And
it's an interesting question of whether or not the, you know, of having it shown at the discretion now of the Chinese authorities as well, which is what presumably is happening. That's presumably an interesting thing. There's something very political in that donation, because it's like, well, I'll give you this, but you have to show it.
Yeah, and I think it's how will they take care of it? Will they look after it? Will they do the right thing by it? Will they show it? Starting from the Cultural Revolution in the 60s and 70s, and then works from a group called the No Name Group, and then the Star Group, which I mentioned. So, you know, there's a show on in Hong Kong, not in the M Plus because it's not ready yet. We're talking about maybe next year, but this has been put back many times, of about 300 and odd works, which are really interesting and show that there's a breadth and an importance to this collection that I think is lacking from Hong Kong. You know, the idea that you can go to just go and see a museum. They don't have anything like that at the moment. This will be the Tate Modern. This will be the big sort of grand opening when it eventually happens. But in the meantime, there are other spaces. I think Parasite, K11, something called the Spring Workshop. There are smatterings of things in
Parasite. I've been to Parasite before and actually bought a couple of things there. And is a kind of non-profit.
Yeah.
That's a non-profit place. And when I went, it was a few years back, it's a tiny, weeny place where you kind of walk up sort of spiral staircases and go down into a basement to have a look at different things. And it's kind of very charming, but it seems like it's sort of clinging on slightly, that space.
Well, and I think, you know, in such a commercial hub as Hong Kong, you know, having a non-profit space is almost an oxymoron. It's like, how do they survive? But they prove that they can, and that's what you need in a healthy art world ecosystem, is all of that stuff. And I'm glad to hear you're collecting, Rob. You know, I'll give you a call.
I need some advice, Austin. Yeah. I thought that was what the show was for. I'm just writing everything down.
All right.
Going online.
Okay.
Yeah.
Price list to follow.
Yeah. Okay, so that was Austin Wall's roundup of his time in Art Basel, Hong Kong, and his greatest hits there. Now, to end the show, we're going to Berlin to meet Mahsa Shamseh, the founder and curator of Young Persian Artists, a platform that showcases and promotes a new wave in contemporary Iranian art. We caught up with her at the opening of her second annual exhibition at the Open Walls Gallery in Berlin to see which Iranian artist she's featuring this year.
Young Persian Artists is a platform that I set up for the introduction and promotion of art being made by young artists in Iran today, mostly artists that were born after the 1979 revolution, or at least that have come of age after the revolution. And this is our second show here in Berlin. It's a solo show for an artist called Ramisa Sakaki, and she is a 28-year-old artist living and working in Tehran now. I set up the Young Persian Artist to distinguish the difference between old contemporary Iranian artists and new contemporary Iranian artists. The revolution, which happened in 79, rendered the life of the younger people something extremely different to the artists that were already active before the revolution. And this new wave of Iranian artists are very tech-savvy, globalized individuals, part of an internet world. And their artwork also shows this. It's has universal appeal, and its aesthetics are not necessarily Persian. So we're having a solo show here by an artist called Ramisa Sakaki. It's actually a retrospective show. Although she's 28 years old and has had a relatively short career, her artwork is still very potent, and she's managed in these few years to very much cement her style and her vocabulary as an artist. Her working style is very flat, but very colorful. By using minimal lines, she manages to bring her characters to life. They all have personality and charm. Her style is very journalistic, however, and she documents what's happening around her without judgment or commentary. For example, in her last series, called the Selfie Series, she attempts to document the style and the fashions of our time, but to also tell the viewer what's going on in Iran. So in her Selfie Series, she captures young people at parties, enjoying themselves, taking selfies, but in the background, she sets the scene of what their daily life is about. She covers the nuclear negotiations, she covers migration, she covers the celebrations and jubilations following the successful conclusion of the nuclear negotiations, but also she captures what it means to be a young person in Iran today.
That was Mahsa Shamseh, curator of Young Persian Artists. And you can catch that show by Ramisa Sakaki at the Open Walls Gallery in Berlin until the 23rd of April. Thank you to Salim Moussaoui for that interview. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Thanks again to my guest, Ossian Ward, of course. You've been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow for our music review. But for the time being, from me, thanks for tuning in.